I want to welcome you if you're visiting to each of our six campuses at CCV. We're honored that you're here. We're in part two of our series entitled Courageous. Last week, the title was Think Big, and we said when it comes to your problems, you got to think small, but when it comes to your God, you've got to think big, because God is able, our God is able to do more, immeasurably more than we can ask or think or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. So one of our struggles is, if we're going to be courageous, is we've got to have a bigger view of God. Today in part two, we're talking about overcome fear. You see, it takes a lot of courage to overcome fear because fear is no respecter of persons. Everybody experiences fear. It's part of life. If you ask most people, what is your number one fear? Statistics say it is public speaking. Or maybe you're on one of our campuses and you just saw the video about neighborhood groups, and maybe for you, you're saying, man, that's one of your fears. Maybe trying to sign up for a new neighborhood group because you find yourself saying, well, I wonder what kind of people will be there. I wonder if I will even know anybody. I wonder what they'll do when they get there. Do they sit around the floor with candles and chant? I mean, what in the world is going on? And so if we're not careful, maybe we have some fear of signing up. Maybe your fear is meeting new people. I love to meet new people, and that's really pretty easy for me. That's a little more difficult for my wife. But just recently, we were out to eat at a restaurant a couple miles from one of our CCV campuses, and we had our booth, and we sat down, and my wife turned to me and said, I think the couple behind us, I think when you walked in, I heard him say to his wife, that's Pastor Don from CCV. Well, that happens once in a while, but I usually wait till we're through eating, and then I'll say something when they leave. But this time, we had just sat down, we hadn't ordered, and I thought, I'll go and just kind of introduce myself. So I got up and walked to the booth next to us, and a guy and his wife were there, and I simply walked up to him and said, hey, I'm Pastor Don from CCV. And he looked up at me and he said, what's CCV? I've never heard of that. And I excused myself, crawled back to my booth, said to my sweet wife, don't you ever do that to me again. Surveys done by the Barna Research Group indicate that 4 out of 5 adults face major difficulties in life which cause worry and stress and fear. In fact, their fears break down into the following ways. Look at most people's fears. Finances, 28%. Health, 19%. Career, 16%. Parenting, 11%. Family, 7%. Or trying to reach their goals, another 7%. Now, you may be looking at that lineup and you say, wait a minute. My greatest fear is not included in that list. And if it's not, I want to tell you, you're still going to experience different kinds of fear. George Patton, the famous World War II general, said, quote, I'm not a brave man. The truth is, I am a coward. I've never been within the sound of a gunshot or in the sight of battle in my whole life that I wasn't so scared that I had sweat in the palms of my hands. I had to learn very early in life not to listen to my fears, end of quote. I can relate to that. I've been preaching for almost 50 years, and I'll tell you, every time backstage before I walk out, my palms are sweaty. And that's a fear I have to overcome because I'm afraid I'll make a mistake or say something that I didn't think I said that can really cause problems. So every week, I have to overcome the fear of getting up and talking to people. You see, what's interesting is that psychiatrists say that we're born with only 2 innate fears, the fear of falling and the fear of making loud noises, or the fear of hearing loud noises. That means that every other fear that you and I have in life is learned. But the good news is also that whatever fears we have can also be unlearned. You see, when it comes to dealing with your fear, you got 3 choices. Number one, you can try to avoid it. Number two, you can simply hope it will go away. Or number three, you can face it head on and try to overcome it. You see, most of the fears that we face every day are not based on facts. They're based on our feelings. And we've got to learn to look beyond our feelings to find out what is it that's causing our fears. Reminds me of a story I heard about a couple that were laying in bed late one night, and the husband was sound asleep, snoring, when his wife elbowed him in the ribs and said, Bert, wake up. I hear a burglar downstairs. So Bert woke up, put on a robe, walked half asleep downstairs, and when he got to the bottom step, he found himself staring into the barrel of a gun. The robber said, hold it right there, buddy. Show me where the valuables are. And so Bert showed him. The robber filled up his sack with almost all the valuables. He got ready to go. And Bert said, wait a minute, before you go, he said, could you go upstairs and meet my wife? She's been expecting you every night for over 30 years. You see, worry and fear is counterproductive because all it is wasted energy. And what I want to do today is help you overcome your fear, because fear is the arch enemy of faith. There's a great story in the Old Testament about fear versus faith. It's found in Numbers chapter 13, Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And it shows that how we see things have a profound impact on all areas of our lives. Because there are two ways to look at things. There are two ways to look at life. We can either look through the eyes of fear, or we can look through the eyes of faith. So let me give you a little background to the story that comes before Numbers 13. Moses had just led the people of Israel out of Egypt. And God, not Charlton Heston, miraculously split the Red Sea, and the people walked through on dry land. They wandered in the desert for 2 years and were about to enter the Promised Land. But before they entered, God said, send out a search team, some spies, if you will, to look at the land. And so Moses sent out 12 spies. When the 12 spies returned, they had two totally different perspectives. 10 spies had a negative report because they saw with eyes of fear. They said, we can't go in there. All they could see were obstacles and problems. But two other spies had a positive report because they saw the situation with faith. They said, we can go do it. They could see incredible opportunities. But as often goes, they went with the majority report. And because the majority did not see things from God's perspective, they missed totally out on God's blessing. And that negative report of the 10 spies caused an entire generation to die in the desert. Why? Because they were simply afraid to trust in God. So let's look today, what happens when fear overcomes our faith? First of all, we totally rely on human wisdom. The 10 spies said, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. Notice how quickly they forgot. They had just been set free from the most powerful nation in the world, the nation of Egypt. They had just seen God part the Red Sea and protect them and deliver them, and now they're worried about some small tribe they're going to encounter. You see, the longer you look at a problem in your own strength, the bigger it tends to become. 10 said, we can't do it. 2 said, yes, we can. Now, I want to ask you a question. Which group was right? Truth is, they both were right. Because the 10 that said, we can't, they couldn't have done it. The 2 that said, we can, yes, they could have experienced victory. Because you see, your attitude and your perspective on life often determines your success. And that's why Joshua and Caleb, the two positive spies, said, we should go up and take possession of the land because we certainly can do it. And that's why later, those were the two people that God chose to lead the people out of the wilderness and the desert into the Promised Land. And it's interesting, as you look on down in the Bible, 38 years later, when the Israelites finally entered the Promised Land, Rahab said this in Joshua 2:9, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Get the picture? 38 years earlier, they could have walked right in and taken everything with no problem because those people were scared to death of them and God's blessing on their life. But they totally relied on their own wisdom in this situation, and they were afraid. When fear overcomes faith, we exaggerate the situation. They said, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. If a grasshopper is 1 inch high, and the average Hebrew at that time was about 5 feet 8 inches tall, that's a ratio of 68 to 1. If the spies were taken literally, the giants or the other people they saw would have been 4,000 feet tall. Isn't it interesting how fear overcomes our faith, and it causes us to exaggerate the problem? I believe today most Americans, we are living in a culture of fear. Since 9/11, we live in a fragile and insecure world, and we're increasingly anxious about anything that might harm us. Can I tell you something? Security is a false god. We want to be safe. We want our children to be safe. And if we're not careful, we worship the god of safety and security. Oh, I know, we say, in God we trust, but we don't live that way. And so some of our fears, some of us are afraid to fly on airplanes. But did you know that you're more likely to die choking on a piece of food than in a commercial airline crash? Or you read the stories about the sharks in the ocean attacking people, and we're scared to death of swimming in the ocean because of sharks. Hang with me. Did you know that more barnyard pigs kill more people than sharks do? You heard it here first. Stay away from farms. We're afraid to let our children out of our sight. We're afraid the food we eat contains harmful ingredients. We're afraid of everything. And Christians, we need to stop and think about what this worship of the false god of security is doing to our souls. We are scared to death, and we're constantly living in fear. Because fear exaggerates every problem and situation we face. Thirdly, when we have fear that overcomes our faith, we spread negative talk. It says in this situation that they, meaning those that were upset, spread among the Israelites a bad report. You see, fear is threatened on its own, so it recruits other people to make it more secure. Fear is contagious because misery loves company. It goes on to say in chapter 14, verse 1, that night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. What's that mean? They had a pity party. They said, we're all going to die. That's why whether you're a young person or adult, no matter what stage you are in life, it is so important that you choose your inner circle carefully. Statistics, leadership journals, almost everyone will say the 5 or 6 people that are the closest to you will determine your success or your failure. Number 4, we have an unrealistic view of the past. They said we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Or put another word in there, they said we should choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. You see, fear has a short memory. Notice how quickly they forgot the slavery, they forgot the humiliation, they forgot the cruelty that they faced in Egypt. Fear dreads the future so much that it often glamorizes the past. And that is why a person, if they lose their vision for the future, they will return to their past. Every once in a while, I say something that even I like. I like that. When a person loses their vision for the future, they will return to their past. If you're trying to overcome an addiction and you can't get ahead and think of what God wants to do with your life, you'll go back to your addiction. On the other hand, if you've experienced failure and you're starting to think about success, if you're not careful, if you don't think of success, you will go back and repeat your failure. Or if you're not careful, when you get ready to retire, if you're not going to think about what you're going to do after retirement, because the key to retirement is not what you retire from, it's what you retire to. And if you don't have something in your future, you will automatically go back and think about what it used to be in your past. Number 5, we criticize proven leaders. The Bible says all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They even threatened to stone Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb for suggesting that if they truly believed in God, they could have the victory. You see, visionary leaders are often criticized. Why? Because they get us out of our comfort zone. They challenge us to do things we've never done before to move forward in faith. Last week, I shared with all of you a spiritual growth area for CCV. I shared that we have over 3,000 individuals and families that give each week to the ministry of CCV. I also shared with you that if you take those 3,000 giving units, if you will, or people that give, that means that 65% of individuals, of adults, that attend all of our campuses don't give anything to support the ministry of CCV. And I want you to know this past week, many of you stepped up and accepted the challenge to trust God with your finances, and I want to say thank you. We had an excellent offering, and I want to encourage you to keep it up every week. Why? Because I don't want you to miss out on God's blessing for your life. And so I want to say, you guys are awesome. You always step up to the challenge and do whatever it takes. And so Moses, he stretched the face of the Israelites. They could not see the future in faith, so they criticized him and wanted to return back to Egypt, even though it was terrible. Number six, when fear overcomes faith, we miss opportunities for spiritual growth. You see, because of their lack of faith, the Israelites were sentenced to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And even though they repented the next day, sorry, they didn't trust God, it was too late. You see, faith seizes the opportunity, but fear causes us to delay, and we miss the opportunities that God puts before us to grow spiritually. So instead of living in fear, what's the good news today? Let's live in faith. What happens when faith overcomes fear? Number one, we stand up for what is right. See, there comes a time in your life when you have to face your fears and take a stand for what is right. You have to face up to those giants, those situations in your life. And if you turn in your Bible to Daniel chapter 3, you will find that's what three young teenage boys did. Their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they risked their lives rather than bow down to a 90-foot idol. In Daniel chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar made an idol of himself 90 feet tall, and he ordered everybody to bow down and worship it. But these three young men were devout Jews from another culture and another country that had been taken into captivity, and they decided they would not bow down to the idol. And so they were turned in. They were reported to the king. But here's what they said about these three young men. There are some Jews who pay no attention to you. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up. Man, that's courage. You see, courage is doing the right thing regardless of the consequence. I got to be honest with you. If I'd have been in their situation, I would have been tempted to compromise in that situation. But these three men would not compromise their faith regardless of the outcome. So let's ask ourselves on every campus today, in what area of your life do you need to take a stand for what is right? Courage says we will take a stand and do what is right regardless of the consequences. When our faith overcomes our fear, secondly, we rely totally on God. The Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Remember, young teenage boys in front of the king? If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But here's the next phrase, I'd underline it. But even if he does not, that is total faith, but even if God doesn't rescue us, we want you to know that we will never serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Unbelievable. You talk about courage. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we're going to take a stand and we're going to totally depend on Almighty God. You see, courage is putting yourself in a difficult situation where there's no way out and you have to totally depend upon God. Well, the king was ticked off. These three young men challenged him, and so he ordered the furnace to be turned up 7 times hotter. And when the soldiers, or those that were to throw Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego into the fiery furnace, the heat was so strong it killed the soldiers that threw them in. He looked down into the fire, expecting the three to be dead. But the Bible says in Daniel 3:25, the king said, wait a minute, I put three men in the pit, but it looks like 4 men walking around. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego put their faith in God, and God was with them every step of the way. Our Lord Jesus Christ was ridiculed, he was mocked, he was beaten, he was hung on a cross, but God was with him every step of the way. As you read throughout the Bible, whether it's Moses or Esther or Daniel or Joshua or Caleb or Abraham or Shadrach or Meshach or Abednego or Jesus, he was with them. And God will be with you too. Listen to God's promise, Psalm 112. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. I had the opportunity recently to sit down with two of our long-term members, been here for years, Terry and Cindy Emig, and hear about a difficult situation they are facing that would cause fear in anybody. Listen to our conversation.
Terry, how long have you and your family been a part of CCV? Don, we started coming to CCV back in 1995.
Okay, we were still in the high school then.
We were still in the high school, had okay. less than 1,000.
Okay, all right, fantastic. You guys, and all these years you've been involved in our church, one of the big things you've been involved in is groups. How many years have you been involved either leading or assisting, or what different roles have you guys had?
Well, exactly. I mean, we've been in groups or leading groups or hosting groups for over 18 years.
Man, that's fantastic. What a lot of people may not know is that you guys have served in a lot of different ways, not just hosting groups, but you guys have been involved in so many ministries. You've been an elder, and then for a while you were a neighborhood pastor. So you've been involved really doing a lot of things, and I'm thankful because it's people like you guys that really make the difference. A church is really people, and when people step up and serve like you had, it's huge. And a few years ago, you had a medical diagnosis. How long ago, Terry, and what was it?
Well, about 2010, I was diagnosed with renal cancer or kidney cancer.
Okay.
From about 2 to 3 weeks after I was diagnosed, they took the whole kidney out. And at that time, we really did think that that was the end of it.
And so here we are 5 years later, and you're having some more pain and symptoms, and you went back to the doctor. And what's the latest report you've received from the doctor?
We've been getting checkups all along the way, and they've been great over this last 4 years. But recently we found out that the cancer did in fact move, that it had metastasized and ended up in my lungs. And they, at that point, diagnosed us with stage 4 renal cancer.
So stage 4 cancer, so what does that mean for you right now?
A lot of things.
With renal cell cancer, there is no cure for that particular cancer. There's just drugs that we can do in the meantime to keep it at bay, but it is terminal.
You know, when you hear you have stage 4 cancer, immediately fear comes in. We're talking about overcoming fear. How as a follower of Christ, how are you guys able to deal with your fear to help you get through this? What have you found works?
Well, first of all, Don, this is an interview we would rather not be having. It's hard. This is a dark cloud kind of hanging over us right now, so we're processing all of that.
Okay.
But you do experience fear. I mean, it's just a natural thing. But what really helps us through that is our relationship with Christ and our support within our family and our friends and the church. I don't know how we'd be handling this if we didn't have faith, if we didn't have hope. You know, we are assured, you know, heaven, that we are assured eternity. That's what softens the blow here, is that we know that no matter what happens, we'll all be together again at some point. But for now, we hang our hat on that faith and on that hope, because it's really, at the end of the day, it's all you have.
I think when you have a loved one, your husband going through something like this at a young age, it really changes everything. How have you found yourself dealing with this report, Cindy? How are you able to kind of work through it now and try to get to the other side? Where would you say you're at in this?
One day at a time. Definitely dealing with it one day at a time. Knowing that we have hundreds of people in our corner praying for us makes a huge difference for us.
You guys were sharing with me, I think, that you received cards from people through this whole experience. How many cards have you received?
We received over 400 cards, so we know that there are over 400 people praying for us, and that is huge.
You never know all the friends and impact you've made in people's lives until something like this happens. There's a lot of people on all of our campuses today that are listening to your story, and many of them are facing adversity, might be cancer, might not be cancer, might be loss of the job, marriage struggles. What would you say to them to give them some encouragement and give them some hope?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, for us, it's our relationship with Christ. You've got to build that relationship, because He will comfort you through these times. He will. The other thing is, surround yourself with a community of people, family, church, your neighborhood group. I mean, that's huge for us. That's been one of the biggest things that we could have ever had through these 18, 19 years, was the support that we've received, especially recently, from all of those that we've been in groups with over the years. And I'll tell you, that to me is the most important thing you can do.
I just want to thank you guys for sharing. I know it's a difficult time you're going through, but we're going to keep praying for a miracle and believe God can do anything. And we just thank you for your faith and the difference you have made and you continue to make in CCV. God bless you. They are real difference makers, like so many of you that have helped us build a great church to the glory of God. And as you heard, they're facing a tough situation. I want to ask you, what situation are you facing right now that you need to totally rely on God? Maybe yours is a health issue like theirs. Maybe yours is a financial issue. Maybe yours is a relational issue with your spouse, or maybe some teenagers, or maybe some of your friends. Maybe it's addiction that you say, man, I'm struggling with that. You see, if you're going through that, you've got two choices. Number one, you can rely on your own abilities, and you'll end up with fear. You know why? Because we're not in control. No matter how much we want to be, we're not in control. Or secondly, you can totally rely on God, and that's faith. Or as we've said around here many times at CCV, when you got these difficult situations, it's palms up or palms down. Palms up, often we say, God, we trust you, but if he doesn't do it when we want, how we want it, what do? We grab a hold of it, and we play God. And if you're in an impossible situation today and you're trying to play God, I want to say, how's it going for you? Would you learn to turn your palms over and release whatever struggle, whatever situation you are facing, and would you totally trust and rely on Almighty God? You see, when faith overcomes fear, then we're going to stand up for what's right. Secondly, we're going to totally rely on God. And thirdly, we're going to then be able to experience God's faithfulness. The Bible says in Daniel 3:28, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. That's courage. Because of God's faithfulness, these three young men were saved from death. Their testimony so impacted the king, he totally changed his life. And because he changed his life, because of his encounter with God, the whole kingdom was saved and turned around differently. You know, maybe today it's time for us on all of our campuses to face our fears. Do you remember the way the scripture describes the devil? Bible says your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You see, the devil has two primary tactics when it comes to trying to neutralize us spiritually. The first is discouragement. And what by discouragement, he wants you to focus on your mistakes. That's why the devil is called the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of Christians. What that means is, no matter what we've done, God wants us to what? I mean, the devil does what? He wants to bring up our past and all the ways that we've failed. And the end result is a loss of courage. Second tactic the devil uses is fear. See, the devil wants to scare the heaven out of you. He wants to put you on the defensive. So instead of trusting God, you react in fear, and the end result is a loss of faith. How do you overcome your fear? You got to remember God's faithfulness. He was faithful to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he will be faithful to you too. The Bible gives us this promise in Isaiah 41:10. It says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I want you in all of our campus to circle four words in that verse. Circle with, strengthen, help, uphold. That's a promise of God. No matter what we're going through, no matter how afraid we are, God says, I'm with you. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I will hold you up. So what's the takeaway today? If you want to overcome fear, here's what I want you to do. I haven't done this in years. Your takeaway is take this verse of Scripture, Isaiah 41:10, and put it to memory. Cut it out, paste it, take it with you, wherever it is. I want you to say it on all of our campuses. Everybody this week, say it every day. If you're married, do it together as a couple. If you've got a family, get around the whatever meal you eat together, and all of you repeat this scripture out loud together. In fact, let's begin on all of our campuses today by saying it out loud and receiving God's promise. Here we go. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. On all of our campuses, that was awesome. That was about a 5 out of 10. If we really believe God's promises, with a little gusto, let's claim those promises. Let's hear you all together. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Remember, the goal of life is not to get rid of our fears. The goal of life is to have enough courage that we can face our fear head on and put our total trust in Almighty God. Let's pray. Dear God, today I know on every campus, each of us are experiencing different fears. And the devil wants us to run. He wants to dig up our past for all the mistakes that we've made. He wants us to lose the victory and promise we have of eternal life in heaven so that we'll live in fear. I pray today that we would overcome fear and we would put whatever situation or relationship or struggle that we have, dear God, we'd claim your promise. We would claim your promise and we wouldn't live in fear. But we'd realize that you want to help us, you want to hold us, you want to strengthen us, you want to uphold us. So help us to take the problem and release it to you in faith, and we look forward to the victory. In your name we pray, amen.